Good afternoon. Today is March 16th, 2017. Welcome to the Subcommittee on Public Safety, and we will continue our public hearing. And today we will hear public testimony as well on House Bill 5013. And just to remind people, as kind of normal process, if you by chance are new in this building, but looking at who's out there, I doubt any of you are. But we typically like to invite up elected officials first on their testimony. And I know Representative Johnson is here. So we'll invite you up and then we'll kind of go down the list with other elected officials at that point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, Mark Johnson from House District 52. This is a different environment for me. I don't often sit in on the Ways and Means. So afraid to give some lengthy policy debrief here, but apparently y'all don't do that. So I'm just here on behalf of my home county, which is Hood River County. You guys are talking about courthouses, I believe, and I just want to emphasize that we have a very aging and decrepit courthouse that fills a lot of needs in our community. We multi-source all kinds of different programs out of that building. I think we're at the bottom of the list now in terms of structural efficiencies and safety and resiliency and all of that. So I would just say that as you consider what to fund or what to help with, we should be at the top of your list, hopefully. I would make note that in the commissioner gave a little briefing here too, but I think there's some real opportunity for co-locating some other state offices in that facility. Right now, DMV operates on a different footprint, and we've got some other state agencies that we could move in there and co-locate, and I think have a very efficient and up-to-date and modern and safe facility. So with that, I'll get out of here and move on to my other committee. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Excellent. Any questions?
Could be really tough and ask him how many square feet they're planning and all that.
Oh, excellent. Any questions?
Nice job, Mr. Chair.
We can go there.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. All right, so to my understanding, there are some, we've kind of organized some of this. We're going to hear primarily on some courthouse projects first, and then we'll get down to the list. Hopefully, I don't call people duplicated, and I'm just going off the list that was in front of me. So if you guys somehow organized it differently, by all means, let me know. But we'll call up, let's go three at a time. Let's see, Deborah Kaufery, did I say it right? Kaufery, sorry. Judge Waller and J.D. Deschamps. All right. See, you guys already know who's coming up. Why do I even need to announce it?
Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Deborah Kaufery, and I am the chair of Multnomah County. Thank you for the chance to speak with you today about our courthouse project. I know you all know this, but just as a reminder, in 2013, you all passed Senate Bill 5056, which laid the groundwork for an unprecedented partnership between the state of Oregon and all of the counties in Oregon to rebuild our courthouses. The bill allowed other counties, including Jefferson, Lane, Clackamas, and Hood River, to rebuild or replace their unsafe, or to borrow a phrase from Representative Johnson, decrepit courthouses. Many of you have toured these buildings, so you know how urgent the need is that they be replaced. More than 600,000 people come to our courthouse every year. Judges, staff, jurors, couples seeking to wed, families undergoing separation, victims seeking justice. Thousands and thousands of people come every day. If a major earthquake strikes Northwest Oregon while this courthouse stands, it would collapse. Exit paths would be blocked and people would be trapped. The loss of the courthouse would have a huge impact beyond our county borders. The Multnomah County Circuit Court handles 34% of the statewide caseload, 57% if you include parking citations, and it generates $72 million a biennium for the state and $24 million a biennium to cities and counties. As a former legislator, I know the pressures you feel to responsibly allocate state funds. Replacing a building may not seem cutting edge, and it might seem like something that can wait. Constituents are probably not overwhelming you with letters asking to fund the courthouse, but I assure you, this cannot wait. A safe and functioning court system is essential to a just society. That's why a new courthouse has been our top capital priority for the past 3 years. Multnomah County has already set aside more than $61 million for this project, and my proposed FY18 budget includes an additional $18.2 million. In total, the county plans to contribute $175 million, nearly 60% of the total cost. Now I'd like to turn it over to our presiding judge, Nan Waller.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. It is my pleasure to be here. The Multnomah County Courthouse is old, and sometimes old works. In this case, it is obsolete. That was not an accurate statement.
You're setting yourself up.
Judge Waller, you'd think you'd know better by now.
Our building is, however. There are serious concerns for everybody who comes in. And this afternoon, you're going to hear from some of the people who come into our courthouse, including lawyers, school children, and all.
Just me, too.
Oh, yeah. As members of the public. The courthouse was not built up, and I actually had my brick with me, but I had to park too far away to trudge it over here. But that is an example of what the courthouse is built out of. Hollow core bricks, 8 floors of it, unreinforced masonry, and if an earthquake happens, the courthouse will pancake, and there's just no other way of putting it. So major loss all the way around, and major disruption for our community of the justice system. Beyond simply the issue of the seismic issues that the courthouse has, there are public safety issues. Our court has adopted a pledge of fairness this year, and we want to make sure that we are treating everyone who comes into the courthouse with respect. When we are having to use our public hallways for the public, for judges, for jurors, and for those who are in custody who may not yet have gone to trial, who may still be pending trial, it is not a safe situation. We've had numerous situations where only but for our very good security, things would have gotten out of hand. And so we want to make sure that it is a safe situation for all. And that is what you are going to see when you come up to Portland in the summer of 2020 and you're on the other side of the river.
Good afternoon. My name is J.D. Deschamps. I'm the project manager from Multnomah County on the project. And I think the biggest thing to note about the building is we were very intentional. We oriented all the public spaces towards the river. So if you're at a courtroom, if you're paying your parking ticket, or you're on jury duty, we intentionally put all the public spaces towards the river so that, as my architect likes to say, going to courthouse are very stressful. And a stressful day, if you walk out of a courtroom and you can see Mount Hood and you can see the river, it may not have gone good, but hopefully it helps take a little bit of stress out of a stressful situation. It's a 17-story building with one floor below ground, 462,000 square feet. There was an earlier question.
Yeah.
So I thought we had the answer. So, and the Sally Port and the separate pathway defendants, that earlier photo showed you the issues that we're addressing. And the Sally Port will allow the in-custody defendants to be brought in. The doors will close. They will be taken to holding cells. It will all be done in a safe, secure environment, and something that is very important for these are people that have not been convicted of a crime, and so we're respecting their dignity. We have a co-located with the county, a state agency, the Office of Public Defense Services, and so we've been working with them for the last 2 years to understand their needs and get everything that they are looking for out of the building. The last time we were here, we had not included the DA's office in the building or the high-volume courts, but they've been added to the project. As the chair was pointing out, the state's portion of the funding is $125 million, and we've already received from the state the $32.4 million, and we'll be having a request this biennium for $92.6 million. And county commitment of $16.4 million with the additional $18.2 million. So the project has the momentum. It is moving right along. One of the items that, you know, that other picture showed a court floor. It showed students in the hallway, an in-custody defendant being walked by. That's one of the things that this courthouse addresses. It addresses the dignity of the in-custody defendants. It allows people to kind of, on a stressful day, take a look at the river and kind of see what's going on. On a typical court floor, we have 4 courtrooms, and we've very intentionally tried to make sure that the space is wide enough for the public. It has additional attorney-client conference rooms so that if you're there and you want to meet with your lawyer or the two parties want to meet, They can privately meet. Right now, these things happen in the corridor of the courthouse. And this is a view of what a typical courtroom would look like. The one part that you can't see, but we also added, is that we have a clear story so that if you're in the courtroom, there will be sunlight that will be coming in. And we take everything very seriously to the detail. We did a sunlight study to make sure that you're not on the witness stand or on the bench and you would get blinded by the sun. These are those little things that...
It's Oregon. You're not going to get blinded. You're
I was going to say, are we building this in California?
They can dream, can't they?
Right. July 5th, there will be a little bit of sun. No. But you know, other times.
So. The courthouse is closed.
And so the courtrooms are all adequately sized. We built a mock-up. We brought the judge, the sheriff, the DA, office, defense services in. We tested out the courtroom to make sure that the bench was located, the witness box. So we've done a lot of outreach to the community to, you know, get feedback and make sure that this is a 100-year building and spends the county's and the state's money very wisely. We have mounted a construction camera onto the Hawthorne Bridge. There is a link to the county website, so if you want to know what's going on site, there's about a 5-second delay, but you will know what traffic is like downtown and what's going on. We've started construction, so we've got our shoring permit. We're in the ground doing that. We are doing some utility relocations. We haven't messed up traffic too bad, and we should be out of the street within 2 weeks, and we're making progress.
Co-Chair Winters, I wanted to respond to a question that you asked yesterday about Cascadia earthquake. This building is being designed so that we will have, it will make it, and everyone inside is going to live. And I, that was important to us, knowing what may come in the future for the next 100 years of the life of this building.
How close are you to the various bridges? What's the space between the courthouse and where the, you know, because Portland is and Multnomah County is the city of bridges.
We are right beside the Hawthorne Bridge, and I'm a former bridge engineer, so we've been working with the county bridge department and shop to make sure that everything works. We're offset from their foundations, but we're right adjacent to it. And to add a little bit to the seismic question, we've put in dampers in the building, so in a major event, the building will sway, but it's like a shock absorber, and so the energy will absorb. Under a major event, the building will be repairable.
Is there plans for also the bridge? Because, you know, not only we're talking about seismic buildings, but you're also talking about seismics of bridges.
Yes, as you know, thank you, Senator Winters, Deborah Cafori, County Chair. As you know, we have, with the support of the state of Oregon in recent years, completely replaced the Selwood Bridge in southeast Portland. So it is seismically it will be one of the only bridges standing in case of an earthquake. We are looking right now. We're doing a study on the Burnside Bridge, which is the lifeline bridge. It goes all the way across our county. And that will be the next bridge that we're looking at, replacement, restructuring, to make it seismically safe.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So next up, we have, let me see how many of these names I can butcher today, by the way. Barb Marcel, Pat Farr, and Jim Bernard.
You're up again.
Judge Waller, come on up. Stay again. You were highlighted twice, and I just thought we were being redundant. So.
No, you're getting twice.
Excellent.
I'm Jim Bernard. I'm going to come up with Bob Gonzalez after these guys.
Works for me.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee. Sorry.
Apparently we do not have slides.
Okay. We were going to have slides, but we won't, but we're good at talking it through. My name is Nan Waller, presiding judge in Multnomah County. This is Barbara Marseille, our trial court administrator. And we wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the courthouse because in addition to the $92.6 million construction funding that is being requested by OJD in this session is another $8.9 million for technology and construction-related features that are not covered by, as Phil Lemon explained yesterday, by the bond funding and the state 50-50 shared funding. I want to thank the legislature and Multnomah County for making what has been a 40-year-old hope into a reality of having a new courthouse. We've known for some time in many studies that it is not a safe building. And we're not only thrilled because we're going to get a 21st century building that is seismically safe for everyone who comes into the building, the thousands of people every week, but it has given us an opportunity to really look at how we do business and how we can better serve the public and how we can meet the principles that the Chief Justice talked about yesterday to make sure that we are serving all of the people in Multnomah County, that we are improving access to justice, that we are maintaining public trust and confidence in the court, and that we are helping people choose the best way to resolve their disputes and building strong local partnerships. To that end, over the past year, we have had numerous community listening sessions to understand the public's perception of the justice system. We have had an assessment done on our court to look at how we can improve public trust and confidence. We have worked with the project team to have numerous forums of people who have specific issues in coming into a courthouse. The disability community, Elders in Action, and others who represent elders, members of our diverse community that we have in Multnomah County, as well as the bar and others. And we know that coming to court is stressful in and of itself. And what we discovered as we listened to the community, looked at the assessment done of our court, met with members of the community about the courthouse, is that there are some aspects of our current courthouse, just by virtue of it being functionally obsolete and us now being in the 21st century, that make it even more stressful for people to come to court. And I'm going to turn it over to Barb Marseille to talk a little bit about some of the things that we discovered and how we are then taking that information, working with the project team to make sure that we address those issues in terms of access, reducing stress, increasing the trust and confidence that people have in the court, because it will not be as sometimes a disrespectful way of physically entering our building.
Yes, as Judge Waller said, I'm Barbara Marseille. I'm the trial court administrator for the circuit court in Multnomah County. As Judge Waller said, we intend to use both the design of the new space and the use of technology to improve access to justice in the new facility. Included in OJD's POP request is money for technology and equipment necessary to commission the new building. This includes both the audio-visual technology for courtrooms and for jury orientation and deliberation rooms, but also for technology that's critical to helping us operate efficiently and provide better information in the new building. I intended to give you a couple of examples visually. I don't have the slides, apparently, so I'll just describe some things for you. Currently, to enter our existing facility, the public line up around the outside of the building, often in the rain, sometimes for up to an hour waiting outside. In the new facility, not only is there a covered entryway, as you saw in the previous presentation, but there is designated interior space with a large capacity for waiting for the security clearance inside the building. There will be digital displays to provide information to the public as they're waiting in those security lines. Information about what the security screening will entail, information about how to find the courtrooms they need to find once they get through security, and explaining other announcements that may be necessary, closures, changes in operating hours, the location of our child care facility, that sort of thing. Once people clear security, there will be ample space in the new lobby for collecting belongings. There will be seating for putting shoes back on and belts back on, which we don't have now. There will be large displays that will list courtroom locations, as well as an information desk to provide special assistance for those who need it. These are features that will relieve anxiety and provide better information for that first experience people have as they enter the building. We also will be making some changes in our public service areas. Currently, we have very crowded public service areas where people queue up in long lines. Often people discover once they reach the front of a line that they've been in the wrong line the entire time. In the new building, we have the opportunity to design our space to allow people to have better wayfinding so they can get where they need to go, but also to use technology so that we can provide better assistance for people and more options for people to avoid waiting in those lines. New technology will provide kiosks for checking in for public counters, allowing for electronic payments with a credit card, for checking in for court, as well as terminals for looking up case information and filing electronic documents. This will avoid people waiting in lines, as I said, but also will allow us the ability to grow over time. As we increase in our caseload, we're not expecting that we're going to increase substantially in the space that we have available. So we need to provide better options for people for self-service and to get the information they need without having to wait in line and talk one-on-one with a public service individual.
One of the biggest issues and challenges that all courts are facing now is the increasing number of self-represented litigants coming into court. We know that in family law, it's upwards of 70% of the cases have one side unrepresented. Small claims and landlord-tenant, large unrepresented individuals, at least on one side. And in our straight civil cases, we have close to 25% of cases that have one side that is unrepresented. It is incredibly difficult to navigate through the court system without a lawyer. In our current courthouse, we have two floors of books that really serve the bar very well for many, many decades. But most lawyers do not use the law library now for their legal research. They are in their office and doing it at their desk. The portion of the population that we are not well serving and we do not have the kind of tools that will provide good access are self-represented litigants. And our vision is to transform our law library into a law library legal resource center to have navigators and facilitators who can help people who do not have lawyers. This not only helps access issues, but it also, bottom line, it helps the court. We spend a tremendous amount of time and energy and dealing with the frustration of customers who are doing it wrong in the first instance, need to redo it again, and oftentimes are wasting not only the court's time, but their time because they don't have direction. And so our idea is to use, again, technology in terms of providing electronic tutorials for very simple things that people need to know how to do in order to respond to a lawsuit, and then to have actual people there who are helping people use our guided form. Some people don't have good computer skills, and so we'll have people who can help facilitate that. We are getting 50% match for the construction part of the courthouse because the Public Defense Services is in the building. We see that also as an access issue to improving the quality of work that is going on in the building by the Criminal Defense Bar. By having appellate lawyers on site, by having a place where lawyers can meet with their clients, we think that this will raise the bar in terms of the quality of the work that is being done. Likewise, when you saw the courthouse, outside of each of the courtrooms, there are small rooms. Right now, we see lawyers filling out paperwork on serious, significant criminal charges in the hallway. Out in the public. We see people in warring domestic relations matters in the hallway, barely separated, standing shoulder to shoulder. A few years ago, I had a domestic relations case outside of my courtroom. People had gone out into the hall during a break, and all of a sudden there were fists flying and people being punched out in the hall. The separation of people, the greater space, the place for people to be in rooms away from the other side are all things that are going to improve, again, the quality of the experience of being in the courthouse, which will let people concentrate on the business at hand, resolving their dispute. So we appreciate the fact that the legislature has gotten us off to a great start. We look forward to this next year of building. We know that the webcam isn't maybe as exciting as the eagle-letter giraffe webcam, but for us it is thrilling to get to watch the building as it's beginning to rise and work is underway. And if you have any questions, we'd be very happy to answer them.
Representative Barker.
Thank you. So I apologize, I came in a few minutes late. Is there some way that the prisoners from the jail can get there? Are
yes.
We gonna tunnel them or?
Yeah, they're right now, as you may know, if you've been in Portland, at least twice a day, Fifth Avenue is closed down, and the prisoner buses are stopped, and they let people off, and people go into the hallway. It's a very dangerous situation when we've had high-profile cases, gang cases. There's no way of securing all the parking lots around and making sure that nobody is doing anything. So there's a sally port where the truck will come in. Doors will close, people will be let out. There's separate hallways, separate elevators. So it's going to be a much less, it's more respectful, it's safer, and it's, I think, for the public, much less stressful to be sharing the halls with and elevators with prisoners, which is what we do now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Senator Frederick.
Thank you, and I apologize for being called out to talk. There's an aspect of, that you mentioned early on about people feeling safe in the building itself. Let me just say as a bit of a statement, I worked in the courthouse as a reporter for a while. We had a wires coming through the little closet that we were living in, working in, to hold the walls together. And the idea of going, when I always hope that I actually jump a little bit every time I go into that courthouse whenever I feel anything shake mm-hmm. right now because it's unclear whether we're dealing with a quake or not, because if we're dealing with a quake, I want to be as far away from that place as possible. So I am encouraged by this, but I'm also encouraged by the approach that you've taken to making people feel as comfortable as possible, even though they're dealing with an institutional issue that's often a very difficult one for them. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Frederick. I want to show you our pledge of fairness that is going to go throughout our courthouse. These are the six most common languages in Multnomah County. And we think that it's important to announce to the public, right as they enter the building, that this is what we are pledging as a court to do, to make sure that people are understood, understand what is going on, that they feel like they are being respected, and that they will have their questions answered. And we know, based upon all the research, that when that is done, people will have confidence in the court, they will accept the rulings whether they win or lose, and they will comply with court orders. So we see it as not only in the public's best interest, but in our best interest also to really maintain our pledge of fairness.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you, Co-Chair Stark, Winters. Thank you for the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. Thank you for taking the time. You know, my name is Pat Farr. I'm the chair of the Lane County Board of County Commissioners, former state rep from House District 14. In fact, Rep Barker and I were freshmen together back in 2003. I was replaced by my wife, Debbie Farr, who I think Rep Barker will agree was a far better legislator than I ever dreamed of being.
No comment.
And
trouble.
Yeah.
Rep Huffman, 241,847 square feet. Lane County is requesting. I will say one more thing. I have very little written testimony to deliver today. But out of deference to my long relationship with Senator Winters, I'm going to try to make this last 20 minutes, if that's okay. Lane County is requesting $5 million of bond authorization for the 2017-19 biennium to match the investment Lane County will be making in the preferred site for the courthouse replacement project. The bond authorization will enable the county to utilize state dollars to engage in a robust design process. Approval would allow Lane County to return with a construction-ready package, including detailed design and construction budget, by 2019. Lane County's project has evolved significantly from our initial application in 2015. We've completed a comprehensive facility needs assessment and collaborated with community partners on a detailed site selection process that resulted in consensus regarding a preferred site. You have in your hands a letter from Carsten Rasmussen, our presiding judge, the Honorable Carsten Rasmussen. I will not read it. We have worked diligently with the City of Eugene and expect to purchase a full development-ready city block immediately adjacent to our existing courthouse in the Civic Center in downtown Eugene. In addition to a new county courthouse, it's envisioned that this Civic Center will also be enhanced by the planned construction of a new Eugene City Hall and numerous improvements to the downtown park blocks and other public spaces, including a year-round location for our popular farmers market. As such, the Lane County Courthouse benefits from being part of a larger vision for which there is broad support and a strong partner in the City of Eugene. And I cannot emphasize enough how much partnership has gone into this. We've worked diligently with the City of Eugene. The Mayor of Eugene was here for a full day last week talking about the very same project, the very same group of projects. In closing, has it been 20 minutes? In closing, I hope we all appreciate the magnitude of the partnerships these projects represent. Between Lane County, Multnomah County, and Clackamas County, and the projects in Hood River and Madras, the legislature has the ability to significantly change the discourse on courthouse facilities that's been discussed in this building since at least 1996 about aging court facilities. I urge you to stay the course on the funding for these projects. Yes, these are all large and all complex projects, but they're all lining up nicely such that a sustained investment over the next five biennium should significantly improve justice services for a high percentage of Oregonians. Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, I know you're well aware of the engagement we've all made within the arena of public safety. Those partnerships are solid and growing. Courthouse construction and shared investment is just another great example of how the state and local partnerships are working and how effective we are going to be together in making these projects happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions? I'll entertain any questions. Once again, $247,847.
We will quiz them on that later.
So we're asking for about $20 per square foot.
Commissioner, your seismic plans?
We have, without going into a great deal great detail, I'll pretty much echo what was said regarding the Multnomah County Courthouse. I won't go as far as saying everybody will be alive. I suspect everybody will be alive, but the seismic plans are such they'll meet current standards, and we have been working with that for quite some time. The City of Eugene has been particularly responsive to seismic plans since their courthouse was since their city hall was demolished, because I think it was a 0.6 would have flattened it to the ground anyway. So we're very, very aware down there, and seismic standards will be met completely.
And it was nice to have two FARs in this chamber on the House side.
And once again, I'll let Rep. Barker discuss the effectiveness of both.
You're much older than I remember.
You look exactly the same, Rep.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So next up we have Jim Bernard and Mark Gonzalez. And was there another, was a third two-year group or just the two?
Bring, our DA up, if you don't mind.
Okay, I'm trying to get you in the appropriate group, so come on up. Just make sure you introduce yourself before speaking, please.
We got to close that up. We have a slideshow, so we're going to shut this one down. It's a two-hour slideshow.
Excellent.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, and members of the subcommittee. I am Clackamas County Chair Jim Bernard. Thank you for your time today and for your consideration in including Clackamas County in the Oregon Courthouse Capital Construction and Improvement Fund. Clackamas County Courthouse is 81 years old. It was built in Oregon's first city, Oregon City, and in the oldest county in Oregon, Clackamas County. Population has grown over the last 81 years, as you can imagine. So has our need to expand our resources to serve our community. Our courthouse has 11 courtrooms to serve the public, and our current master plan says we need five more in the next 10 years. In the next 30 years, Clackamas County is expected to grow 53%. That would be an additional 200,000 people. Five additional courtrooms won't serve that public. The experience of visiting the courthouse should not be like getting in the waiting list at the next big restaurant. Instead, people in need at the courthouse are eager to resolve issues and allow them to return to normal, productive lives. On the domestic side, child support and custody cases can be held over for months because criminal cases trump civil. Growth is a good problem to have in Oregon, but with the growth comes a responsibility to serve the public in ways that they expect. Our courthouse is not only too small to serve our current population, it lacks the ability to grow. Our courthouse also lacks recommended safety accommodations, standard access across America, and ensure judges and jurors are able to safely attend hearings and the prisoners are able to be transported safely to and from the courthouse. In addition to the growing safety concern we experience at our courthouse, our facility represents a significant seismic safety risk, according to a recent study. It's also located on the Willamette River, and one corner is slipping into the river. We believe that a replacement is the most cost-effective scenario for Clackamas County. In fact, we are anxious to relocate the courthouse so it can be co-located with our county service building, including resolution service, juvenile services, and, of course, the county jail. Clackamas County already owns the land where the courthouse would be relocated, and freeing up downtown Oregon City from courthouse traffic would mean less congestion, increased parking that is already overloaded. Relocating the courthouse would allow county court to plan ahead for continued population growth and to meet the needs of courthouse services in the future. Our finance director will go through more details about our readiness to move forward with this project, but I want to conclude with a thought. We realize that this is a long process, as the need is great in other counties as well as ours. We also understand that the legislature is struggling with a budget deficit. We are confident that our modest ask this session to initiate the planning process will place Clackamas County in a smart financial situation and allow us to tackle a large-scale capital project when the timing is right. As many of you appreciate, holding on a capital project when the timing is right can be just as detrimental to the project as moving forward when the timing is wrong. Please help us move forward with our courthouse project. It will be good for Clackamas County and good for Oregon. Thank you very much for your time today. Mark Gonzalez.
Good afternoon, Chair Stark and Co-Chair Winters and members of the committee. I am Mark Gonzalez, for the record. I am the finance director of Clackamas County. And I guess I'll start by saying that the Clackamas County Courthouse was finished 16 years before I was born. And I am going to be 65 years old this summer. So it is an aged building, and it's on a bad site. I'm going to move through a little bit of, and I hope I know how to operate this thing. Doesn't seem like I do.
While you're working that out, just want to remind everybody that Co-Chair Winters prefers the term chronologically advantaged to old.
Thank you.
Right. I am chronologically
advantaged. See, okay. D.A. Foote and I are in the same category.
Right.
Thank you.
So, yes. To continue, I'm sorry. Our 1936 courthouse was built in downtown Oregon City, and it originally had one courtroom and housed the rest of the county government. It now contains 11 courtrooms. We are packed to the max. We have done what we can to this courthouse, and there's really literally no more room. It's on one single city block. We have no room to expand there. And it receives an average of 700 daily visitors, which limits its ability to handle court capacity. Thank you. As you can see by the photographs, we have a lot of issues within the courthouse. It's an aged building with ADA compliance issues. It has bad wiring. It's a shortfall in space. We have 11,560 feet or so in support space and less than 5,000 square feet in courtroom space. Circulation throughout the building is also a problem. We have judicial, civil, and court staff using the same circulation routes as in-custody prisoners and the public. Also, jurors assemble in a neighboring building, and they have to walk on city streets in order to enter the courthouse. The path to the courthouse leads them past the Sallyport and front courthouse entry, where many opportunities exist for interactions with people that they probably should not be interacting with. And there's really no room for testifying law enforcement to wait separately from the public circulation and the prisoner transfer area. These photographs illustrate the seismic risk. It was mentioned that a corner of the building is starting to degrade away. We also have
Chair Stark just commented that you got my memo.
There are numerous seismic deficiencies in this building for structural issues and non-structural systems. We have learned from a seismic study that was done fairly recently that the building would experience significant damage during a major earthquake, and that's like the I can't remember the name of what kind of earthquake it is, but it's one of those
Cascadia
subduction earthquake. And it would be a massive destruction of our building. Also, the soils underlying the building are going to be subject to liquefaction. So we are interested in moving away from the Willamette River, which will limit the views of our folks attending in our building, but it will make it a lot safer to be inside the building. What you're going to see here is that it's a part of our design from our conceptual design from our 1998 facilities master plan for the Red Soils area. We have been contemplating the existence of the courthouse up there since the time when we first started this study. It is an approved master plan approved by both our county commissioners and the city of Oregon City. The building that we build will meet all current codes, and that means LEED Silver status, even though we may not apply for the LEED Silver certification. We have pre-installed utilities on our campus that go right to the site. That includes chillers and boilers for heating, cooling, and air conditioning, fiber and copper for data and telecom connectivity, a closed-loop hot and cold water from our central utility plant, and traffic circulation improvements are in place to accommodate the courthouse. However, we will be building additional circulation for vehicles and additional parking up on the campus. The new courthouse will have 215,755 square feet divided, as you see on the slide. And we expect to co-locate services with the Oregon Department of Human Services with a 4,700 square foot secured suite and relief for current crowded office space close by, family support services close to the courtrooms, and daytime safe space for children who happen to be in the courthouse because of the needs of their families. Our timeline, we are planning through our construction financing during this next biennium. We're asking for $1.25 million in planning dollars. That is actually less than we have spent to date in order to plan for this eventuality. In the next biennium, we'll be looking for approximately $30 million in design and pre-construction services funding, and then an additional in the following biennium, $48.2 million in construction equipment and furnishings. The total design and construction cost is estimated today at $154 million. Our match would be half of that at $77 million, plus we will be investing approximately $30 million in additional circulation for road, parking, and other services on the campus. Our expenditures to date going from the general fund are about that $1.25 million, but we have many other investments of funds that came from our capital improvement projects funds that led us to having all this infrastructure in place. We plan to issue internal financing through full faith and credit bonds in two successive waves and obtain a bank line of credit to aid cash flow while we're waiting for reimbursement from the state under this program. And I'm happy to answer any other questions. We're going to end with photos of the archaic courthouse, the one from 1884 to 1935. And though that was built and ended before I was alive, I believe it ended in a fire. Is that correct? Or there was damaged in a fire?
I actually wasn't alive then, but. I'm chronologically disadvantaged.
And the current courthouse is shown in a nicely sepia-toned photograph. So if we can answer any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
And before we go on, this isn't intended directly to you, but just a heads up, we do still have, I think, at least 11 people that are wanting to testify in 45 minutes. That's why I spoke so quickly.
Representative Stark, Senator Winters, members of the committee, I'll be brief. My name's John Foote. I'm the DA in the county. I'm here because our presiding judge is somewhere south and warm, as he's richly earned it. He's a wonderful representative of us. He could tell you all about the impacts of this courthouse has had on their ability to do their work. Everything gets pushed back because of the criminal work and family law and all sorts of things. It's really hard for people to get to court. We have 11 judges. We are the third biggest county. The two counties that are behind us have more judges than we do, 14 and 15. We have been limited because we just can't get any more judges in the courthouse. This is really a serious problem. We've been site ready for more than 10 years. So this is an opportunity we cannot let go by, and we are very prepared to do this, and I deeply appreciate the support of the commissioners. This is no small thing. We live in a county in which they love law enforcement, but they don't like taxes. So it's a difficult thing to get this done. Since I've been around more than 20 years, there have been so many efforts to get a new courthouse, and they have failed because the public won't pay more taxes in our county. So this is the opportunity we must grab. The security in our courthouse is terrible. We have no secure perimeter. You've seen the pictures, but it's worse than that. Jurors, when they come into our courthouse, they come into a side entrance from a separate building around the front of the building. They walk past everybody who walks in and out with juror buttons on. I'm surprised nothing's happened so far. But when they come in, they collect in the hallway outside our office with all the law enforcement and everybody else coming in and out, right where the grand jury is, right where there are witnesses for grand jury. So it's just a ready-made thing for something to happen. So finally, as you've heard about the seismic issues, the house, this house that we work in is going to slide in the river if there's a big earthquake. So, and I actually am one of those people who's looking out. That corner of the building that's looking out the edge, that's our offices down there at the first floor. So we are familiar with the eroding.
Beautiful view.
Well, it's actually, you see a road. The river is underneath the view. I'll conclude with that. Thank you very much.
One final note. As evidence of the political will underlying this, the support for this project, we've submitted statements from all the elected officials in the public safety realm to the legislative staff here, and they're all signed by our elected officials. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. All right. So at this point, we're trying to match two different lists up. So if for some reason you had it coordinated to be up here with someone else, you can speak up and we'll try to accommodate that. Next on the list, I have George Murdoch, Vicki Smith, and Ed Herndon.
We rehearsed this a great deal. Co-chair Stark, co-chair Winter. I'm Ed Herndon. I'm the chair of the Citizens Campaign for Funding. And although I do remember when I started to practice 45 years ago, the Lane County Courthouse seemed pretty new, I can't say that the Multnomah County Courthouse did at the time, nor was I around when it was new. But the courthouses are really key structurally to making the system work. But I suggest to you that the House Bill 5013 is equally core, because the judges and everything that goes on in the court and the other parts of the court system need to be funded. I've been lucky enough to practice and try cases in a lot of other states. And in Oregon, our judges are both efficient and excellent. They keep things moving through. And when they say you have 1 year to trial, they mean it, and it gets done. And I know that in California, when they said, we will get this case tried within 5 years, we guarantee you, your eyes kind of glaze over, because our system works and our judges make it work. They also, through e-court, through the complex litigation system that they've set up, make sure that they are using every penny as well as it can possibly be used. That's without a great amount of staffing that they could use and that courts have elsewhere. We are blessed with, in my view, the best judges in the entire country, whether it's from the Chief Justice, Ballmer, to our presiding judge, Nan Waller, to the trial judges that work every day in every one of the 36 counties. So I urge you to support House Bill 5013 and make sure that we as Oregonians, and that's the community and the business leaders, not just lawyers, but the community has what they need to make sure that we have public safety, that we have trials that get the work done, that we protect the individuals that need protecting, whether it's financially or from a safety standpoint. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Vicki Smith. I am the president-elect of the Oregon Association of Defense Counsel. My organization has about 700 members. We're attorneys representing individuals, businesses, and the government in civil litigation. And I agree with everything that has just been said. We have a fantastic court system. It runs very efficiently, and we need to keep it funded to continue running efficiently. Because an efficiently operating judicial system is really good for everybody. People use the court system in times of crisis, in times of need. We all know that the court systems help resolve those issues and help the parties move on to the next step. The civil piece of that falls lower on the priority list than the criminal pieces and the criminal cases, obviously, because of constitutional issues. So that means when the courts are not adequately funded, then the civil cases tend to suffer. If there's not a judge available, a courtroom available, if there's not enough staff to assist the judges, many times the civil cases will get bumped. A timely resolution of cases is important to the public as well as the individuals. And without that timely resolution, it makes the courts inaccessible to those folks in the civil industry. One other point to make, an adequately funded and staffed court also serves as a deterrent. Because I'll tell you, if you go to a mediation and you're trying to resolve cases and you tell your clients, hey, you're going to have to stand up in front of that judge and tell him why you did that thing, that's motivation to help resolve the case. That motivation helps keep the cases out of the court system. But without having that deterrent, that judge or that jury that you have to face, there's less motivation to resolve those cases. On behalf of OEDC, I would encourage you to support House Bill 5013 as well. Thank you very much.
Co-chairs, excuse me, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee, my name is George Murdoch, Pendleton, Oregon. I'm a Umatilla County Commissioner and also here on behalf of the Association of Oregon Counties. I'd like to extend AOC's appreciation to Chief Justice Ballmer and his fellow judges who work in circuit courts across Oregon. I know that commissioners and other county elected officials enjoy a strong working relationship with judges in their district as well as staff with the judicial department. A strong public safety system includes and relies on those key relationships between judges, district attorneys, sheriffs, and county commissioners. The Association of Oregon Counties has helped to lead the efforts on funding for justice reinvestment and continues to push those efforts here in the capital. In each of our counties, we're working very hard to avoid prison growth by implementing successful reentry, by recidivism reduction and treatment programs for offenders. These programs, including our specialty courts, have been strongly supported by judges across the state, thus continuing our strong public safety system. At the Association of Oregon Counties, I have the pleasure of serving as chair of the Court Facilities Task Force, which was convened as a joint project between counties and the Judicial Department. Over the past few sessions, we have been able to bring counties together to prioritize state funding requests for new courthouse replacement projects, as well as health and safety improvement projects. I would like at this point to thank OJD's Phil Lemon and David Moon, who have been an integral part of our work because of their information and knowledge in creating this partnership. For your information, the Umatilla County Courthouse was built in 1955 as a bomb shelter, and it will be standing long after I am not. So I have driven to here from Pendleton, and I will be going back to Pendleton tonight specifically for this purpose, to let you know that this effort on behalf of Oregon's counties is collective. I have no dog in the fight. I'm here on behalf of all counties. And while I love Umatilla and Clackamas, I don't love them at 5 o'clock, which is about when I'll see them tonight going through. But we want you to know we support all counties in this effort, and we work together. We also have worked as a committee to make sure that all counties have a thorough review of what they are trying to do, and we have worked with OJD to develop a priority system which runs through about 12 years. So this is a long-term project that we've done in collaboration with the counties, and to date everyone agrees. Some of our courthouses are historical landmarks, but that doesn't mean they're in good shape. And so I think having a systematic program in place makes a huge difference in doing this in a realistic way. So I would very much hope we look forward to our partnership, and I thank you very much for being able to come today and participate.
Thank you, Commissioner. Now you have me wondering how a bomb shelter would hold up in a Cascadia, but I won't ask you to,
well,
to resolve
news
that.
Well, good and bad news. Unfortunately, I think it will stand up fine.
Yep. All right, so next on our list, we have Sean McRae, Deborah Doherty, and I have on my list, it says either Walt Beglau or Kevin Neely. Are you both here or just Kevin? All right, so come on up, Kevin. Did I miss someone?
Judge
James. Did I miss one of the?
I don't.
Okay.
You want to start?
No,
go right ahead.
I'm happy to.
Okay.
Should I?
Great.
You can bring her up next. Yes,
good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Ely, and I'm here representing the Oregon District Attorneys Association.
Kevin, I'm going to hold on just a moment. I do want to. I just realized that I was reading the list wrong. I'm going to have you guys go since you're already seated.
Oh.
But I do want to apologize to Judge James for having missed an elected official in the order. But
I'm happy
you're
to
seated.
Move over.
We will allow you guys to go ahead, but just know that a judge is waiting.
Thank you. It's been nice speaking with you. again, Kevin Neely representing the Oregon District Attorneys Association, 36 district attorneys and some 400 deputy district attorneys. I've submitted written testimony from our president, Rick Wiesenberg, the Douglas County District Attorney, so I would just direct you to that. It really has four imperatives, so I will be very quick. Imperative one is access to justice. It's absolutely critical that our courts are open, operating, and providing outstanding services to our communities. Two, we need adequate infrastructure. You've already heard over an hour on infrastructure. I'm not going to spend any time on that, but in most instances, our district attorneys are co-located with the courts. So again, we are going along for the ride with all of the new courthouses. Three, it's imperative that we maintain our specialty courts. You've also heard about those. As you know, investments in specialty courts result in savings elsewhere in the budget. And the courts are absolutely critical partners as we move forward with drug courts, veterans courts. There's over 80 courts, mental health courts, that are mission critical to us. And finally, we need to have really excellent quality judges. We already do. We need to continue to have the resources available to retain and recruit the best possible people. And we need to have a bench that adequately mirrors the population increases that we're seeing in our communities. So with that, I'll close and just indicate that the district attorneys actively support effective funding and House Bill 5013. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Stark, Co-Chair Winters, and members of the committee. My name is Deborah Doherty, and I'm an attorney at Legal Aid. I'm a Legal Aid attorney at Oregon Law Center. Thank you for your time this afternoon, and I also want to take this opportunity to thank you for the pass-through funding that this budget provides for low-income Oregonians. I'm here on behalf of over 100 legal aid attorneys, the clients we serve, and the communities we serve, asking you to support House Bill 5013 and the Chief Justice request to continue interactive forms and other technological support. Over the last 11 years, I've represented domestic violence survivors in restraining orders and family law cases, and I've represented these survivors in coastal, urban, and rural counties throughout Oregon. In every county, the community has relied on the Oregon Judicial Department to have meaningful access to justice. OJD provides forms, instructions, and other legal resources in family law, divorces, custody, and restraining order matters. And they work hard to ensure that these forms are user-friendly and available. In fact, I've recently had the pleasure of working with OJD and other stakeholders in reviewing and testing the new guide and file interactive forms. OJD also works hard to keep the forms, instructions, and information updated when laws change. This requires a great amount of diligence on the part of OJD and the other stakeholders. OJD is also committed to procedural fairness for low-income and self-represented litigants, which requires showing litigants the respect, the impartiality they deserve, and working towards a trauma-informed staff, courtroom, and procedures, as you heard from many of the presenters earlier. OJD needs sufficient funding to continue and expand this great work. But perhaps most vital, it is most vital that our courts receive adequate funding to remain open and accessible to survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and other violent crimes. Obtaining a restraining order is often the first line of defense a survivor has against a dangerous partner or a dangerous person. and it's often the first step they take in finally leaving a dangerous relationship. Already in 2017, there have been 15 domestic violence-related deaths in Oregon. If the courts were forced to shut their doors, as they have been required to do in the past, it could literally mean life and death for some people who are in need of immediate restraining orders or immediate resources. So for this reason, given the important work that OJD is doing, and given the ramifications of limiting access to justice, we are asking you to support House Bill 5013 and the Chief Justice request to continue the interactive forms and other technology supports. Thank you again for your time this afternoon.
Co-Chair Stark, Co-Chair Winters, members of the committee, I'm Sean McRae. I'm the new executive director of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. We have almost 1,300 members. I also was able to submit written testimony, so I just want to underscore three quick points. First, it's always great when I can agree with the prosecution, and I agree with everything concerning this bill. Number two is, I just have to say, this is not part of my written testimony, but I just have to say, as somebody who's based out of Lane County, the idea of a new courthouse in Lane County is so cool because it looks just like it did when I was a little kid and my dad was a prosecutor there. So it'd be great to have that changed. Number three is, I want to give a shout out to eCourt. It's not perfect, but it has really changed the way that defense attorneys and probably prosecutors can do our work. And I ask you to particularly maintain the no-cost provision for criminal defense providers and juvenile practitioners, because it makes such a difference in how quickly we can do things, in how quickly we can look up information in other counties. For example, if a client, if a defendant has a prior conviction, instead of calling an attorney in another county to try to get them to look through their storage files and get information for you, you've got it right there online. That's a cost savings not only for the defense budget, but also for the courts, because the defense lawyers can do things more quickly and provide effective assistance of counsel to their clients. Thank you.
Thank you. And Judge James, my apologies for missing you the first round. You get it. There's more behind you, but you're on your own at the moment.
Co-Chair Stark, Co-Chair Winters, members of the committee, I don't mind at all. I am a Marion County Circuit Court judge, so my commute home is going to be short after I return to the office. It's my honor to serve as a Circuit Court judge for Marion County, the third judicial district. I'm president-elect of the Oregon Circuit Court Judges Association, and I speak in support of the Oregon Judicial Department policy option package related to judicial compensation, but in general as well. I want to first thank you for the increases and the COLAs that you have given to Oregon's judges. It makes a significant difference in keeping our most experienced judges on the bench. I also would like to thank the members of all of you who signed the letter of support for our current request. I know you heard the salary comparisons for other public and private lawyers yesterday, so I won't repeat those, except to note that at some point, nearly every sitting judge was in a position to earn a comparable salary to those attorneys or better until accepting the call to the bench. And it is a calling that we do accept. I know that this is a difficult time to request a salary increase. You have heard from a lot of public safety entities and organizations and groups, and there are critically important needs, so I'm mindful of the context in which we approach you. Judges have been behind for a long time, and so we've found that there really never is a good time to make an ask, but we are here nevertheless. The importance of attracting and keeping experienced, wise, and passionate judges to help people navigate our courts, to help people find their way to resolve conflicts, cannot be overstated. Every day, judges make decisions that affect people's lives and their livelihoods, their freedom, their housing, or a child's future. We provide treatment courts in a hope that we are going to be reducing incarceration, and in fact, that hope has been realized.
And as a treatment court judge, I also want to thank for your past support of Oregon's treatment courts. The treatment courts do something else. They promote safe community-centered reentry programs. They promote safe community recovery, and they promote good communities. The breadth of experience, the sustained passion of a judge makes every day a judge serves another day a better day for Oregon's citizens. I know that you have given us previous support, and I really appreciate it. I know that it has made a tremendous difference to my colleagues and to me. I hope we can continue to make progress to help our experienced judges on the bench remain there and to recruit highly qualified attorneys throughout the state who reflect Oregon, answer the call when they get it, and be able to be as passionate about what they do as it's been my pleasure to do. I'm available to answer any questions. I thank you for your time.
Questions?
She knows I don't have any questions to ask since the good Judge James and I in this community and others, when she talked treatment court and all the work that's being done, it's the same honor that I have with her as I have Judge Waller and those who actually have been working in the trenches to help us make things better in the whole public safety system. So, and in fact, Judge James and I go back to when we first started talking about what could we do for mental health. That's been a long time discussion. So I was glad that you were able to testify. And don't work too hard when you go back to the building.
Co-Chair Winters, thank you so much for your support. And thank you, committee.
Thank you. All right, next up we have Arthur Towers, Bob Steringer, and Barbara Roast. And those are the last three on my list, so if I have missed you or you're here, you might want to let us know.
I'll get us started. Committee members, for the record, my name is Arthur Towers with the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify before you today. Just as many of you do, our members fight for underdogs, and we're very proud of that. And they're the ones that need access to justice more so than anyone. The people who are victimized by elder abuse, sex abuse, or child abuse need speedy judicial system to work for them so they can more quickly start the healing process. We represent people who face discrimination on the job. We represent workers who are retaliated against for whistleblowing. We represent people who've been consumers that have been defrauded or who have been severely injured and have serious medical bills that need to get paid. And for each one of our clients, justice delayed is justice denied. And so your efforts to adequately fund a high-functioning judicial system are very, very important. Again, that's what helps the Davids fight the Goliaths, and we really appreciate your support for getting that done and hope that you can support House Bill 5013. Thank you very much.
Hello, co-chairs Winters and Stark and members of the subcommittee. My name is Barbara Rost. I'm the program director at Classroom Law Project, and we are an organization that is dedicated to civic education in grades K-12 throughout the state of Oregon. I'm here to emphasize that the work of the courts goes beyond what you've been hearing about generally, beyond the litigants, their attorneys, and others associated with them, that the work of the courts includes civic education. And so I appreciate your support more than you can possibly understand of this bill and supporting the courts generally. In Multnomah County alone, there were 3,374 children, grades 5 through 12, that were ushered through the courts in the court tour program. Think about the education that's going on in that very authentic experience.
Just 2 weekends ago, there were mock trials held in 7 county courthouses throughout the state, all the way over in Union County, down to Jackson County, and up to Multnomah County and places in between. And in one of those courthouses, think about this, one of those mock trial teams was comprised exclusively of foreign exchange students from China. Think about what's happening as a result of your support of the courts. It goes beyond the litigants and those serving them. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Huffman.
Well, thank you for your assistance over the last few years in helping me get teachers involved.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it because sometimes it's a struggle.
And oh, I appreciate your support as well. Thank you.
And I was just going to randomly boast that once upon a time, 21 years ago, my mock trial team took second in the state here.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Of course
well,
it did.
Well, Mr. Chair. As Ms. Ross knows, my daughter was on a state champion mock trial team. And I got the privilege of serving as a judge for the middle school program. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a great program. I spent a lot of March weekends in the Hatfield Courthouse for state champions.
Senator Frederick?
I truly enjoyed both the mock trial and the constitutional law group. My problem is that I end up judging and looking out at the courtroom and knowing the kids who are and their parents who sit back and wave at me, which is not appropriate. So, but it is really an extraordinary program, and I truly wish that every child in the state of Oregon got a chance to, if not be part of one of the teams, see one of the teams in action, mm-hmm. because it's really an amazing program.
It's a great program.
Thank you.
Such a
and
huge
I agree.
Confidence builder.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee. My name's Bob Steringer. I'm an attorney and president of the Harang Longeri Rudnick Law Firm in Portland, Salem, and Eugene. I'm also the immediate past president of the Multnomah County Bar Association. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today in support of the Judicial Department's budget. First, I want to express how important it is for the state to provide adequate funding for the operation of our state court system. This isn't just a matter of legislative policy. It is a matter of upholding our state constitutional obligation to administer justice completely and without delay. I've represented clients in the state's trial and appellate courts for about 18 years now, so I've seen what happens when the state has failed to provide a functioning full-time court system. It impacts vulnerable persons who depend on the courts to protect them from harm, to resolve life-altering matters like domestic violence, evictions, or child custody disputes. And what often gets overlooked is how important functioning courts are for a healthy business client. Individuals, businesses, and government all depend on a court system that can efficiently and effectively resolve disputes. Administering justice is not a part-time endeavor. It is critical that we fund it accordingly. I also wish to share a few words about the need to fund courthouse construction. I can only speak about the Multnomah County courthouse project from personal experience, although I know that other counties also have critical needs. What I can say about the Multnomah County courthouse is this: doing nothing is not a viable option. I had the opportunity to view the inner workings of the courthouse a year or so ago, behind the walls and between the floors, and I can tell you it's a very sobering experience. If you have any doubt about the need for this project, I encourage you to ask Judge Waller for that tour. And as you heard from Judge Waller, the courthouse is primarily constructed of unreinforced masonry. The building will literally crumble in the event of a significant earthquake with disastrous results. If that were to occur during business hours, disastrous won't begin to capture the consequences of that event. Hundreds of lives are at risk. Judges, judicial staff, law enforcement officers, attorneys and litigants, dozens of children, all at risk. It is critical that the state rise to this challenge and follow this project through to its completion. That means supporting both the construction financing and the money to install the kind of built-in equipment that is necessary to operate a modest but modern courthouse, a courthouse that serves its purpose of providing access to justice for our citizenry. The Multnomah Bar Association has approximately 4,000 members statewide, and while I can't speak for every one of them, I can tell you that our board of directors unanimously and strongly encourages you to authorize the $92.6 million in bond financing required to complete the construction project and the $8.9 million to equip the building with the technology that is necessary to serve our citizens for decades to come. Thank you.
Any questions for this panel?
No question, just a comment. Art, it's good seeing you.
Senator, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or anything for the good of the order? On that note, we will close our public hearing and adjourn. I am adjourned.